1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Heidi Exers, welcome to Market Scope for May 2006. This month, we're tuning the Market Scope tuners up the AM dial right here in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. There are no AM stations licensed to Upper Sandusky, so here are the strongest on the AM band.
The people of Columbus need to hear my show live. It's about time. El Rushmore here. Let's talk today at noon on 610 WTVN.
Team news coverage on News Radio 610 WTVN continues in 60 seconds. From around the world to your own backyard, around-the-clock coverage continues now.
Showers and storms throughout the day, a high again near 80. Right now, partly sunny, it's 65 degrees at your official weather station. Here's your 11 o'clock report on News Radio 610 WTVN Columbus. Good morning, I'm Scott Gerfin. Some sunshine, 68 degrees at your official weather station. Our next news update at 11:30. For news anytime, go to 610WTVN.com. I'm Scott Gerfin, News Radio 610 WTVN.
Sixty-six degrees at 11:30. I'm Dick Hafner, 760 WJR News. The news brought to you by the NHL is on NBC tomorrow at 2 p.m. as the Minnesota Wild take on the Dallas Stars. Tune into the NHL on NBC. Stock markets are closed on this Good Friday. We'll have a high once again in the mid-70s. Right now, partly cloudy, a little bit of sun trying to get through. And 66 degrees. WJR News Time, 11:35.
WJR's weekend experts have knowledge that works for you. Saturday afternoon at 3, get advice from the lawyers themselves on the Daly and Stern Law Show. Get solid financial advice with Ken Stern and Your Money at 4, and Money Talk with Bob Brinker at 5. Then at 7, the Sloan Brothers teach you how to start and grow a small business on Startup Nation. Screensavers or Home Networks, the Internet Advisor can fix whatever isn't working at 8. News Talk 760 WJR.
Where it's 12 noon, I'm Dick Hafner, 760 WJR Detroit. The news brought to you by Comerica.
It's been an incredible year for Windsor and our local economy, and it's all thanks to you, the loyal listeners of AM 800. By shopping local, Windsor businesses are growing bigger and better than ever. Just listen.
This is Rob Zanet from OMAC Mortgages. CKLW has helped build customer awareness of the mortgage brokerage industry and has allowed my business to grow year after year. There are more choices than just going to your bank. Thanks for all your support.
Thanks for supporting the community by patronizing all the local businesses you hear about on AM 800. It's life. It's local. It's you. It's AM 800 CKLW, a chum radio station.
It's 1 o'clock.
20 degrees in Windsor Essex with a mix of sun and cloud and a chance of showers, a warm high of 25 on the way or 77 Fahrenheit. I'm Rusty Thompson, AM 800 News. Our top story this hour, a formal ceremony today at the Port of Windsor. It was to welcome...
In touch with Charles Stanley. Weekday mornings at 9 on...
The Word.
The Word, 880 WRFD, Columbus Worthington. A service of Salem Communications.
This is the Investor's Edge, all about your finances and investments, sponsored by the Granville Planning Group. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated.
Cleveland's only news radio, your official weather station.
Indians baseball,
Cavaliers basketball,
Browns football.
This is the Big One.
Now, continuing coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100, Cleveland.
A Northeast Ohio Catholic diocese and a sex abuse victim reach a settlement and another deadly shooting on Cleveland's east side. Good morning, I'm Ted Klopp with the 11 o'clock report on News Radio WTAM 1100. Details coming up. Sky Chief traffic and weather together 24/7.
Coverage continues right now.
Man Hegarty, both bodies of children. Mother Angela, Virginia, said she identified 11-year-old Purvis Virginia Parker.
Karen Chase, ABC News.
WFIN News, I'm Tom Sheldon. This is the Saturday News at Noon.
Stay informed and entertained at WMRN.com. News. Weather. Sports. WMRN.com.
Marion's News, Talk, and Information Station, 1490 WMRN Marion.
Take us with you wherever you go, at home, at work, or in your car. You're always someplace special with the music of your life on 1540 WBCO.
Sound of the Browns there and the Three Bells. Before that, Mockingbird Hill, Patti Page. Carl Hampton for the music of your life. And right now, Johnny Mathis, It's Not For Me To Say.
This is the music of your life on WBCO Bucyrus.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. It went on for a month.
If you like what you're hearing, tell your friends that we're playing the music of your life. All on the new WBCO 1540.
It's nice. Kind of a fun oldie there. The Fleetwoods and Come Softly to Me. And before that, Patsy Cline and Always. My name is Carl Hampton. On behalf of each and every one of us around here, from Gary Owens to Chuck Southcott, the Winker, Wink Martindale, Peter Marshall, Les Brown, all the great guys, I'd like to thank you for being someplace very special on your radio dial.
Here's the AM 1540 National Weather Service forecast for Crawford and the surrounding counties. Partly cloudy today with a high of around 73. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 47. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms and partly cloudy with a high of 63. And on Monday, partly cloudy once again with a high near 65.
What a lovely way to burn. Thank you for being someplace special. The music of your life. Here on the radio station, everyone is talking about 1540 WBCO.
July. I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and
ladies and gentlemen of America, it's time for the big announcement.
It could only be one thing.
This is WNRC, Convention City, a National Radio Club radio station.
NRC Convention, WNRC, Convention City.
I hope you've enjoyed our brief look at local AM radio. Please remember that I could use your contribution to MarketScope. I'm Phil Wayne, and my address is 313 West Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. Thank you in advance for all your help.
Thanks, Phil, and I really hate to interrupt that great song. Speaking of WNRC, the National Radio Club Convention is coming up. All the pieces are being put together, and John Bowker has a report.
Well, that's right, Fred. Pieces and parts for the 2006 Akron Convention are really coming together nicely now. I'm elated. We're planning a number of events right in the hotel, and, of course, out by the pool. And that's going to help the logistics quite a bit, I think. We'll be filling you in on the program plans in a month or so. But just so you know, the convention will start on Friday afternoon, September 1st, and will continue through to lunchtime on Sunday. Of course, a number of us are planning to stick around Sunday afternoon and evening because we just like to sit and chat about DXing and baseball and 100 other things, probably. But now, here's what you should do now. One, you should call the Best Western Hotel and make sure you get into the block of rooms we have reserved for the low room rate of $59 plus tax. You call 1-330-794-1050. Tell them you're with the National Radio Club. And now, let me give you some more information I hope you don't need. We have a group confirmation number, just in case the clerk who answers the phone, you know, is the weekend or late night guy. Our group confirmation number at that rate is 101-399. You don't give that to him unless he really needs it, okay? Second, send your convention registration money to me as soon as you can. Now, if you send me a check, I will not cash your check until at least August 11th. So if something comes up and you won't be able to attend, you'll be able to cancel with no penalty at all. Here are the costs. Convention registration is $45 for each NRC member. Now, that includes the meeting room, beverages, snacks, oh, and the banquet, which will be Saturday night, right there at the hotel. If you're bringing a spouse or companion, the registration charge will be $25 for that individual, and it includes everything above. Third, send your reservation to me, John Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R, P.O. Box 5192, Sun City Center, Florida, 33571. Oh, and if you have any questions about any of this, drop me a note at that same address, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Now, third, and this is kind of unique, decide how you're going to travel to Akron. If you're going to be flying into the Akron-Canton Airport, be sure to let me know, because I plan to reserve a van to make that 25-minute run to the airport from the hotel, and I'll be picking up attendees about noon on Friday, and then I'll go back again Sunday early afternoon to take folks back to their flights. But I'll need to know how many people to expect so I can rent the right size vehicle, and it would be helpful to know what flight you're coming in on, too, so I can get the timing fine-tuned pretty well. It's going to be a lot cheaper, I can assure you, than taking a cab or a limousine up from the Akron-Canton Airport. And if you're coming into the Cleveland Airport, I understand there's a van service from there into Akron also, and it runs $35 to $40. That's what we have at the moment, Fred. Thanks a lot.
DXAS. With better variety and less static.
Hello again, DXers. Ken Honest Jack here. And this month, I have a special column here. As I told you last month, former broadcaster Kurt Gowdy passed away a couple months ago. And through the Outdoor Notebook, a local fishing newspaper, they give a special report on Mr. Gowdy. He was born Curtis Edward Gowdy, July 31, 1919, in Green River, Wyoming. He was the older of two children with sister Margaret. He graduated from the University of Wyoming in 1942 with a degree in business. He was a member of the American Leadership Development Fraternity, Alpha Tau Mega Fraternity at Wyoming. He began broadcasting career covering six-man high school football in Cheyenne, and later other high school sports on KFBC-AM 1944-46. Also worked as a sports reporter and later sports editor for the Cheyenne Wyoming Eagle the same period. First big break in sports broadcasting was accepting sports position at KOMA-AM in Oklahoma City to broadcast the Sooners games of Oklahoma University and Hank Iba's Oklahoma State basketball squads from 1946-49. He became the radio color analyst for the New York Yankees with Mel Allen, 1949-51. He was the radio color voice for CBS network coverage of football with Red Barber, 1949-51. He broadcast the first TV of both the NIT and NCAA finals from New York's Madison Square Garden in the first and only double slam of the two tournaments, won by the City College of New York in 1950. He was the radio and TV voice of the Boston Red Sox from 1951-66. He was the first radio voice of the Boston Celtics in 1951. He was network play-by-play announcer for 10 years for the American Football League in 1960 with Paul Christman, and was still the number one team with Al DeGrogatis in 1969 when the AFL merged with the NFL and continued to lead broadcaster with the NFL. He hosted the ABC Network's Wide World of Sports in the early 1960s, play-by-play for new NCAA college football series in 61 and 62, host and producer of ABC Network's The American Sportsman, spanning three decades, beginning in 1963 through the late 80s, 10 years as the voice of NBC TV's Major League Baseball Game of the Week with Tony Kubek from 66 to 75. First sportscaster to work for two networks at the same time, beginning in 1966, ABC and NBC. Worked for all three networks in radio and TV, ABC, NBC, and CBS. Hosted the sports series the way it was on PBS TV, 74 to 78. Hosted HBO sports series, Inside the NFL. Hosted ESPN Classics series, Sports Century. Wrote two books, Cowboy at the Mic with Al Hirschberg in 66, and Seasons to Remember with John Powers in 93. Contributed writer to countless books, magazines, newspaper features. He also did brief try as an actor in a couple of different movies, Summer Catch in 01, Basketballs 98, American Summer in 90, Great Moments in Basketball 89, Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad in 88, and Heaven Can Wait in 78. In his brief fishing interest, I'll mention quickly, introduced to freshwater fly fishing by his dad, Edward, in 1926 at 8 on a river in Wyoming, introduced to saltwater fly fishing in St. Petersburg while on a spring training with the Yankees in 1949, through friendship with Ted Williams when the Red Sox trained in Sarasota, was introduced to Southwest Florida and Florida Keys for snook, bonefish, permit, and tarpon fishing. His love for fishing Florida and the Keys became the venue of many episodes across three decades of the American Sportsman series, building huge awareness for the state's waters. His love, continued love of fishing the Keys as a celebrity host of the Redbone Celebrity Tournament Series, for cystic fibrosis research efforts and the Boy Scout Backbone Celebrity Classic. In tribute of his many years with the Chico Redbone, the Kurt Gowdy Lounge, a sports bar and oceanfront, was named after him in the Isla Mirada in the Florida Keys. And backing up a bit, he is in 20 Halls of Fame. He is the first individual sports figure to win the coveted Peabody Award for Outstanding Journalistic Achievements, 1969. He is the Kurt Gowdy State Park near Cheyenne, 11,000 acres, named in his honor in 1972. He had an honorary degree in law from University of Wyoming in 72. And the American Fishing Tackle Manufacturers Association said Gowdy was the main man to promote fishing in 76. He served as president of the Basketball Hall of Fame for 7 years in 78 to 85. Lifetime Achievement Emmy Award presented by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences in 91. National Football League's Pete Rozelle Pro Football Radio Television Award for longtime exceptional contributions to broadcasting or telecasting pro football in 93. Outdoor Writers Association Excellence in Craft Award in 97, among others. He was awarded 13 Emmys, 6 for the ABC's American Sportsman. He owns 7 radio stations. Can you name the frequency, friends? WCCM AM, bought 1963 in the Boston area. 1974, WCGY FM, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, plus WBBX AM. KOWB AM and KCGY FM, Laramie, Wyoming, and WEAT AM and FM, West Palm Beach, Florida. Stressed a commitment to community spirit. Gowdy, his family, and his broadcast personnel at the stations have been honored with hundreds of community service awards for countless hours of public service to charities, humanitarian efforts, nonprofit organizations, and community support. Gowdy's career spans the broad sports spectrum and includes TV and radio broadcast coverage of more major sports events than anyone has ever done. 16 World Series, 12 Rose Bowls, 9 Super Bowls, 8 Olympic Games, 16 Baseball All-Star Games, and 24 NCAA Final Four. At the height of his career, he broadcast many of the sport's memorable moments, including Boston Red Sox Ted Williams' last at bat in 1960, which he homered, Super Bowl III in 1969 as the AFL's Joe Namath guaranteed a Jets win over the NFL Baltimore Colts, the amazing New York Mets shocking the Baltimore Orioles in the 5-game series in 1969, and broadcasting Hank Aaron's 715th home run in 1974 that thrust him past Babe Ruth. Yes, I do remember the night. I was in bowling league that night. And graduated from the University of Wyoming in 1942 with a degree of business. And you know the rest. He married Geraldine Dawkins in 1951, had 3 children, Cheryl Ann, Curtis Edward Jr., and Trevor Allen, and 5 grandchildren, and much humanitarian involvement. And I want to thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back next month with more radio news or sports. Take care, friends. So long. Ken Onischuk reporting.
A friend of mine works in radio and is the music director for a small chain of stations, and he knows about a project that I'm putting together right now in my spare time. What spare time I do have. which is taking all my records and tapes and putting them onto CDs. And obviously, as I'm going through my top 40 library, I'm finding a lot of songs that I forgot about that don't get played on the air, and some real stinkers. And he asked me the question. He said, "What song do you think is the worst one ever recorded?" And on my second guess, darn, didn't I hit what he thought was the worst one as well. And as a coincidence, 2 days later, on April the 21st, CNN wrote the Worst Song of All Time article, and I'd like to read that at this time. The worst song of all time, See the Tree, How Big It's Grown, by Ted Leopold, CNN. I knew it was coming. Every day, at the end of almost every hour, XM60's channel plays the top six hits of corresponding weeks from that decade. As an aficionado of Billboard charts, I've got a hunch of the Billboard Top 40 and some number one books at home, and I knew what was going to be number one when the countdown got to mid-April 1968. Honey, by Bobby Goldsboro. The worst song of all time. I sat transfixed in my car as it played, as if I was in the midst of an accident. The simpering melody, the tear-jerking lyrics. God, how I hated it. And yet I couldn't change the station. See the tree, how big it's grown, but friend, it hasn't been too long. It wasn't big. Honey wasn't just a hit. It was a number one for 5 weeks in April and May of 1968, one of the biggest songs of the year. According to a Bobby Goldsboro tribute site, songwriter Bobby Russell initially gave the song to the Kingston Trio member Bob Shane. When Shane's version got off to a slow start, Russell, who by the way also wrote Little Green Apples and The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, allowed Goldsboro to release it, and the recording immediately took off. The Kingston Trio also did an early version of Seasons in the Sun. Coincidence? I think not. I've always been at a loss to its success. Sure, it's about a love story type of romance, and those sort of tearjerkers sell, but the narrator of Honey isn't even kind to his wife. He laughs when she slips, describes her as kind of dumb, kind of smart, and mocks her for crying at the late show. One day, while I was not at home, while she was there, and then came her death. Even in 1968, what kind of jerk wouldn't be at his wife's bedside when she died? No doubt, the Honey narrator grew up to become the narrator of Harry Chapin's far superior Cats in the Cradle, ignoring his own son as he once ignored his wife. But one man's awful is another man's meat, and Honey has its defenders. I cried when I first heard it as a child, and I still cry as an adult. So what if it's sappy, wrote Fiona of SongFacts.com. This song is one of the most touching and heartwarming songs I've ever heard. Second being Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, added Dawson. Besides, it's foolish to single out Honey when there are so many other awful songs. I asked CNN comm staffers if they knew some worst songs of all time. I had only two rules. The song had to have been a hit, preferably the kind you hear on the radio so often that you can't change the station fast enough. And it can't have been a song that wore out its welcome through repetition. A really bad song is one you hate from the word go. Several people nominated Starship's We Built This City, a number one hit from 1985 that was also named by Blender Magazine's Worst Song Ever. CNN Pipeline copy editor James Dinan put it best. I got a laugh when I read that the original intent of this song was to be a statement against cracking down on artistic freedom. I support such a crackdown if that means this song will never be played again. The Starlight Vocal Band's Afternoon Delight got a few votes, as did Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart, Mr. Mister's Broken Wings, and Don Johnson's Heartbeat. Broken Wings succeeded. We built this city as number one by a few weeks. Obviously, late 1985 was a golden age for bad songs.
I will take my life.
A couple people named MacArthur Park, which also won a Dave Barry Worst Song Contest several years ago. Barry himself can't stand in the year 2525, which he called relentlessly ugly in his book, Tricky Business. And then there were the generalists, who nominated such things as anything recorded by Celine Dion and REO Speedwagon. Of course, there were the novelty songs, C.W. McCall's Convoy, Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy, Rick D's Disco Duck, and Black Eyed Peas' My Humps was so bad as to veer toward evil, wrote Slate.com's reviewer in an apparent argument. But it seems unfair to lump novelty songs in with the works that insist on quality and earnestness. However, it may be unfair to assume that quality and earnestness of Achy Breaky Heart. The submissions spawned on their share of quarrels. One person intently disliked Biz Markie's Just a Friend, but despite its amorous rap and clunky background, I find the song perversely charming. And as many people love Tony Basil's Mickey as can't stand it, Rhino Records, never one to miss a trick, has the whole album of bad songs, 1970s party killer classics, not to mention the classics Golden Throats, in their collection.
In the year 2525.
So what do you say, dear reader? What do you think is the worst song of all time?
If woman can.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hi, this is John. I'm from Elmira Heights. Hello, all fellow DXers. As everybody knows, KB has gone Air America and West Wing Talk. I have my doubts that it'll last very long. And also the fact that the cruising series I have from 1955 to 62, if anybody's interested in having them on CD, I have them on CDs, and I can make up copies and then send them to whoever needs copies. I have from 55 to 1962. If anybody has the rest of the series from 63 to 70, please let me know. They can contact me at 607-734-5029.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Lucille Burkhart talking to you on Tuesday, April 4th, with a little something. I was reminded of this when Ken Honestchuk started giving his report about the death of Kurt Gowdy. We had a station that has gone through several format changes, 93.7. It used to be WCGY, and as I understand it, Kurt owned it, and when it was the Rock Garden, and, of course, it went to Blue Suede Radio, and now, of course, Star 93.7. It is now Mike FM, and I wanted to also say that his daughter worked there as a DJ, and I remember listening to her many times, and I enjoyed her very much. They called her Cheryl Ann. I just thought I'd mention that, and that's all I have for now. So happy DXing.
Hello, DX Audio Subscribe. Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, with a question for any of you. I have been off and on listening to a station at 555 kilohertz, which I think it's called Radio St. Kitts, which is on the island of St. Kitts, which is near Trinidad. Maybe west of Trinidad, and I have found that they've been coming in surprisingly well. I mean, maybe an S6 to an S7 signal in Massachusetts on my Zenith Transoceanic, and I'm wondering, has anyone else picked up that station from here in the U.S., and what do you think of their programming? I kind of was amazed that to be able to pick up that station from so far north. I wonder how much power they're running and the whole kit and caboodle.
Hello, DXers, Fred,
This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. I would like to add an addition to Ken Elichek's sports of the baseball schedule. The Washington Nationals can be heard on WTWP AM 1500, which goes up and down the East Coast. Play-by-play announcers, Charlie Slows and Dave Jenkins, formerly from the Pawtucket Red Sox. Got a question. I used to listen to a disc jockey when I lived up in the Boston area. His name was Arnie Woo-Woo Ginsburg. Wonder whatever happened to him.
Hello, Audio Service members. Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin, and I just want to take a few minutes to make a few comments. First of all, to congratulate Fred for 21 years of probably the best audio magazine on the planet. And I just want to say the April edition was definitely a good one. I really enjoyed Mark Durenberger's profile or feature from WCCO and the Honest to Goodness program. I honestly don't remember that show, but it was interesting the fact that they promoted their Clear Channel service as much as they did. Last Thanksgiving, my wife and I went out to Charlotte, North Carolina for the Thanksgiving holidays, and I noticed that at night, the Clear Channel's signals are really not clear channels. I mean, I could barely pick up stations like WGN, WBBM, and WLS. In fact, LS I could barely hear because of the Cubans, and on some of the other frequencies that are clear channels, there is either a pileup, or in 830 kilohertz example, there is the 50,000 watt voice of truth from somewhere in North Carolina. I thought I would comment on that. I also, and I really enjoyed Tim Hendel's Market Scope on the 1160 station in Donelson, Tennessee, switching formats and ownership. I collect format changes and have been really excited about call letter changes going back in the past. And I thought that was very interesting. I wonder if Tim, if you could answer the next question in the next magazine's musings. Can you get the 1160 station at night, and how well does it come in?
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, before the opening night game in Toronto, there was a wonderful tribute to Tom Cheek. A lot of people were there, including his wife and family and some of the former ball players and other announcers and different people like that, and they really gave a very moving and touching tribute. I'm sorry to note the passing of Mike Rapchak, who did a great big band show on Saturday nights on WGN Chicago for some years. And we had a local disc jockey retire here that worked our station in Brantford and also the one down in Simcoe and CKOC in Hamilton for a time. He spent many years in radio, and that was L. Pooley. I picked up KRLD in Dallas, Texas. One Saturday night I was listening to WTIC Hartford for the Boston Red Sox game, and lo and behold, here comes the Rangers game up on KRLD under it. And I've also been receiving sometimes WINA on 1070 out of Virginia. I think it's Charlottesville, the college town there. Also WKOK Sunbury, Pennsylvania has been coming up sometimes too. And I think it's a shame what they did, messing up some of the clear channels. I really enjoyed that WCCO program on the last tape where they called people all over the country. That really covered a lot of miles.
Thanks, Wayne. It's always nice to hear from you. And that is our DX Audio Service musings to the members. If you'd like to be a part of our happy little crowd and tell us about what's going on in your community, the telephone number to call is area 360-469-0189. That's for DX Audio Service members only. That's a recording system. It's located at the base of Mount Rainier, Washington. We do this spiel about once a year. I'd like to do this at this time. And if you've heard this before, please don't turn it off. Give it a listen because some information may have changed. We've got a lot of new members. I'd just like to let you know a little bit about how the DX Audio Service runs, what we do, what we can't do. Generally, just how the organization's put together. First of all, This is a volunteer organization. All the editors are volunteers. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. Mark Durenberger, John Bowker, Bill Hale, Ken Honest, Chuck, Phil Wayne. I mean, you talk about some stellar talent. Boy, I'll tell you, those guys are great. This is a nonprofit organization. None of us make any money for what we do. And the dues and everything from EDXN and also DX Audio Service goes to pay just for the materials and such, just to keep this this thing going. Now, members, if you wish to contact me, please do so by USPS mail. I do realize that this is somewhat of a problem for some folks. My address is always at the start of each DX Audio Service tape. Now, you can leave a message on my telephone, but I'll be honest with you. I've been away from home a lot on business for the TV station that I work for, and thus I cannot return your call at any set time limit. When I'm away on business, I don't have the means to return calls, so I have to wait until the weekend or the morning, and I usually return calls between 5:30 a.m. and 9 o'clock Eastern Time on a Saturday or Sunday morning, or sometimes during the weekdays. On the subject of email, if you've not already discovered, my email address with the National Radio Club is dead. I've done away with email as best as I can. I do have a personal email account, which I use strictly for business and not for National Radio Club use. It has a very tight spam and attachment filter on it because of all the viruses and nuisance mail and spam that comes in. And because of a pattern of problems with the quality and integrity of email, I no longer can guarantee that anything that you send me will be received. So don't send out an email address, an address change via email, and just assume that I'm going to get it, because I may not. On tapes, if you have a damaged tape, by all means send it back with a note and let me know that it's damaged, and as soon as I get home from work, I will replace it at absolutely no charge to you. Now, if you need it sooner or you don't want to send it back, you can always order one from the Publication Center. Ken charges $3 per tape for any DX Audio Service tape going back a couple years or so. We're trying to get out of the tape business, and hopefully one of these days we'll be able to put a lot of our old DX Audio Service stuff on CD. But for now, we have tapes at $3 a piece. If you didn't get a tape, and you're absolutely sure that your subscription is still good, just send a card or a letter letting us know, and we'll send you a replacement. Address changes. Please send all address changes by mail. Again, I don't trust email, and you shouldn't assume that I'll get something just because you click the send button on your computer. Ditto on the telephone, because a lot of times when I check for messages, I'm in a position where I cannot write down the information fast enough. And if you give your telephone number real fast on the answering machine, I just can't copy it down that fast. If you want to know if I've received your check for your subscription to the DX Audio Service, keep in mind that when I get your check, I will send you back a green card as a receipt. Again, keep in mind that I'm away on business a lot, so it may take a couple weeks, maybe even up to 6 weeks, for that check to come back to your bank. If you want to know when your subscription ends, just have somebody look at your mailing label. The date following your name on your mailing label is the date of your last issue. My personal status, well, I'm still traveling a lot, got a lot of things on my plate, doing a lot of work at broadcast stations, which contributes to the telephone and email problems. My time has been pretty limited, especially around publication time for the DX Audio Service. I ask that you not be offended if I don't have the time to chat with you on the last week of the month on the telephone. In fact, a lot of times I don't answer the phone. The reality is, I usually only have a few hours to work on the DX Audio Service in the evening, and all it takes is two or three phone calls of 45 minutes or more, and the DX Audio Service is on the back burner for yet another night. And that means that the mailing is late and the posting of the MP3 files. I really love to chat with people, but unfortunately the reality is I have the time to either talk on the telephone or do the DX Audio Service, and I really think it's important that we get the magazine out on time. We've received a lot of telephone calls asking about our good friend Art Bell, who supports AM radio so well. And I thought that I'd let Art tell you in his own words for the remainder of this magazine what's going on in his life. Art?
Now, let's go back a little bit, all right? Back to the beginning of January, January 5th, when my dear wife Ramona passed away. I got, I think, thanks to all of you so much, I believe I got in the order of, almost 20,000 condolence messages. I'd say about 20,000 by the time it was over, and it's really still not over. About 20,000. However, I began within a few days, I began to get a condolence message from a young Filipino gal at my private email address, not either one of my public ones, and I won't give you the address, but a public, or rather a private email address. And to tell you the truth, I was in such shock that I responded to it, as I did many others, but I didn't give it any consideration beyond that at first. God, this is such a wild story. A few more messages went back and forth. She seemed like a very nice young lady. And again, in the first, 6 or 8 messages that went back and forth in email between us, I was in such shock that I didn't think to ask, a couple of rather what should have been very obvious questions. Why is a young Filipino lady writing to me? How would she know that my wife had passed away? Moreover, how would she know my private email address? So I was in pretty bad shape. And the first thing I thought, honest to God, folks, I thought Ramona was acting from above, and that she was sending me a young 20-something to kill me. You know, Ramona was half Filipino. You know that, right? Anyway, I really did think that for a little while, because it was so impossible. Then I thought, no, you know, Julie, Ramona's mom, knew how bad my shape was at that time, And of course, you know, Filipinos know each other. Oh, believe me, they all sort of know each other. They're very close families, but that's another whole story. And so I thought, well, sure, it's coming somehow from somebody that Julie knows, Ramona's mom in the Philippines. And then I finally threw up my hands, and I guess I gathered enough of my senses to write back to this young lady, whose name, by the way, is, in my way of thinking, Aaron. It's A-I-R-Y-N, Aaron. But actually, correctly pronounced, as it would be read by a Filipino, would be Irene. But A-I-R-Y-N to me sounds like Aaron, so I call her Aaron, but really, really, her name's Irene. Now, you know, I still had not physically met Aaron, but I was quickly falling in love. There's simply no question about it. Now, who's Aaron? Well, Aaron is a 20-something, beautiful, wonderful, light of my life. But what I really want to tell you is she's a teacher. She just graduated from college. In fact, while I was in the Philippines, I attended her graduation. One of the photographs you'll see there is of her graduation. In fact, you'll see her mom and her dad. Anyway, back to the story of how we met. I wrote to her and I said, listen, how did you know my wife passed away? And how did you know to write me at this address? And the answer came quickly. It was an amateur radio friend of mine, a ham radio friend of mine, somebody I've known now for years. And I am going to not mention his name, because here's what happened. You see, he had been engaged to Aaron's sister, Sharon, for quite some time. And when he heard that my wife passed, he kind of knew the bad shape I was in. He apparently asked Sharon to ask her sister, Aaron, to just write to me because, well, keep me company, whatever. And so that's how it began, of all things. So the moment I found out, I picked up the phone and I called this friend of mine in the middle part of the country, and I said, what the heck, or some variation thereof. And so that's how it happened. Now, after hundreds and hundreds of hours in video conferences, I was pretty well convinced that I had just become the luckiest man in the world. And nevertheless, there's the last sort of, I've got to go meet her in person kind of deal. And so that's where the trip to the Philippines came in. As a matter of fact, I paid my friend's way over to the Philippines, and there was a double wedding. Now, I couldn't be happier. I love her very much. Oh, by the way, if you would like to go to coasttocoastam.com and look very carefully, you'll see, I think I put up 6 or 8 pictures. In fact, you will see a picture of her, as I mentioned, at graduation with her mom and her dad there, and then you'll see some of the wedding, and you will see her in her wedding dress, and oh my God, is she beautiful.
Anard also told us that he's in the process of moving to the Philippines, and will be doing his Coast to Coast AM show all the way from Manila. How about that? Attaboy, Art. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support Radio.